Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Volunteer Country on SI podcast this Tuesday, June 7th edition, talking Tennessee baseball. I got my guy Jake Nichols with me today, of course, talking some baseballs, who just went 3-0 in the Knoxville Regional to advance to Super Regionals for the second consecutive season. They will host the Super Regionals as well, one of the 16 teams remaining in the college baseball NCAA tournament as they are trying to get back to Omaha. And Jake, Tennessee won in a different fashion than we've seen them win a lot this year. They did handedly beat Alabama State 10-0 to start off the weekend on Friday, but then they faced some adversity against Campbell and Georgia Tech, especially on Saturday and Sunday. They're trailing 4-0 to both teams, but they came back a little bit of an earlier comeback against the Fighting Camels than it was against the Yellow Jackets, as of course, against Georgia Tech, Tennessee pulled off a miraculous 6-run, 9th-inning rally to just send Lindsey Nelson Stadium into oblivion. Everybody was on their feet, just a raucous environment. And it was unreal, Jake, the atmosphere in Lindsey Nelson when Tennessee was doing that in the top of the ninth. So let's start there, actually, because that's the biggest thing of the weekend, along with some great relief outings from Kirby and Will Mabry. But let's start there. What were your thoughts? Was going through your mind when Tennessee was doing that on Sunday against Georgia Tech in the ninth inning there?
Yeah, it was just it was incredible to be a part of. You know, you really felt like that energy. Tony Vitello has talked about it before. It's the reason for the Lindsey Nelson renovations being the way they are, that, you know, you felt like that energy from the crowd really was transferable to the team, and they just kept stacking, stacking good at bats and bringing runs across. And man, whenever Kyle Booker slid into home to tie that score, I thought that place was going to burst. It was incredible to be a part of. It was a lot of fun, and obviously Tennessee made things exciting and, you know, pulled off something really, really remarkable, like you said.
Yeah, and I'm curious, because now, Tennessee has been so good all year, it's hard to fathom, it's hard to see them losing a game at all at this point, really. I mean, they've only lost 7 times. They've won 56 times. So did you expect a 9th-inning rally like they had?
I expected something, but I did not expect them at that point. Going into the ninth, I did not expect them to win. Ooh. I expected them to make it closer, but I thought the way that Georgia Tech was going, I don't know. I did not expect Tennessee to roar back the way they did. And obviously they proved me and everyone else wrong, but man, it was really impressive. Though I will say, I take that back. Thinking about the score at the time, it was 4-3. I think I expected them to tie after all, going back and thinking about my thought process, but I did not expect the onslaught that we saw there whenever they made it 9-4. And then obviously going into the bottom half, they had to do a little work as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I'm kind of with you. I did expect them to win going into the ninth. I'm like, they're just going to find a way. And I saw it coming, the Jared Dickey pinch hit. It was a beautiful decision. It was the correct decision to make to have Dickey lead off for you. And, you know, he's been so clutch in these pinch hit situations, Jake. I don't think his foot is healthy enough for him to start in the outfield. Maybe it is for him to play catcher, but I don't think he'll need to with Evan Russell back. And that whole situation not being as big as everyone thought it was, you know, he's just out one game. So
right.
So, but what do you think about Jared Dickey? Do you, with his pinch hitting performances, you know, do you think he should stay in that role as Tennessee rolls into Omaha, or at least into the Supers?
I feel like it should still be a situational thing, honestly, given the way that Blake Burke has still performed. I mean, at this point, you know, you've been high on him all season, and the rest of us, I think, have kind of caught up to what he's done. But, you know, I think, like I said, I think it should be more situational, but obviously, like you said, a great call there by Tony.
Yeah. And Christian Moore as well. Every time I think Blake Burke's I don't know, but I think Blake Burke's confidence has stayed high because he's faced the right pitchers and that he's been able to have success against because of the decisions Tony Vitello has made. Every time lefty reliever right. comes in, he's like, all right, Simo, you're up. And then Christian Moore is kind of rebounded. He really didn't have a good – he has struggled since the Florida series when he was excellent in that Sunday game against Florida. He really struggled up until this regional tournament. And he had two big base hits this weekend against Campbell and Georgia Tech to bring home some runs, especially against Georgia Tech. His single was really big. I like what Tony Vitello is doing using those three guys. I think Seth Stevenson has deserved his starting role in left field. I mean, he made some great catches this weekend too, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this starting lineup, I feel like they're in a good rhythm with what they got going on. And so let's move to the pitching. Blade Tidwell, best outing he's had all year against Alabama State. I mean, you know, it's been a weird year for him, but he really looked like he returned to form, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And he, you know, even said that afterward that, you know, he kind of felt like he's back. And he definitely showed that on Friday and was masterful, obviously, getting the shutout.
Yeah, 7.2 innings pitched, only allowing 3 hits, no runs. I thought he could have thrown a complete game. I was actually preparing for it with my, you know, recap story and as well. Right. I was like, man, it just feels like Blade's pitch count isn't too high. If he can, you know, work out of the seventh inning pretty seamlessly, then I think he may go complete game. But after 2 outs in the seventh, he retired his first 2 batters. They decided to bring in Ben Joyce to get the final batter there in the seventh. You know, it's not a bad decision. He was at 93 pitches, but so yeah, it was a great outing from him. But the same cannot be said for Chase Dolander, who struggled against Campbell there on Saturday. And this, you know, you go back to the Baylor game where he allowed 5 runs in the first inning, but he kind of rebounded after that during the game. And it was just a weird game. You know, Baylor got really hot really early, and it was early in the season. But I think that this was probably his worst performance of the year. Don't you think so, Jake?
Yeah, I thought so. And it was I think it kind of threw me off a little bit because, you know, we've seen, like you said, such consistency from him since that Baylor game. I mean, for crying out loud, he got SEC Pitcher of the Year.
Right.
So, you know, I think it threw me off a little seeing him struggle that much. But obviously, Tennessee got plenty of help and relief.
Yeah, they did. Just to recap Dolander here, though, he only pitched 2.2 innings. He gave up 6 hits, 4 runs, two were earned. But he walked 2, struck out 4. So, and he threw 70 pitches in that time. So his pitch count got pretty high, you know, pretty quickly. So an uncharacteristic outing from Dolander, but Campbell's offense cannot be taken lightly. They got a great lineup, and they were playing their hearts out this weekend. The gas eventually ran out on Sunday when they lost to Georgia Tech, but on Saturday night, they were firing on all cylinders and they gave Tennessee everything they had. Great performance by the Fighting Camels, but just not enough. But yes, what Jake said, great relief performance to relieve Dolander on Saturday by Kirby Cannell, the junior lefty, just unbelievable in 4 innings pitched. Career high, 65 pitches thrown. It was the second longest he's gone all season, 4 innings, only allowing 3 hits and 2 runs, and that came off a 2-run shot there in the last inning he was throwing. So you could tell he was starting to get worn down, but he was exactly what the doctor ordered for Tennessee after trailing 4-0 against Campbell after the 3rd inning. I mean, dealing 3 straight scoreless innings, Jake. You know, what do you think of his performance? I mean, how valuable is it for Tennessee to have a guy like Kirby Cannell, who maybe not has been the most flashiest bullpen guy, to just come in here and deal like this?
I mean, I would refer it almost back to what, you know, Tony Vitello said that, you know, whenever you've got to have it, thankful to have the mustache or something like
yeah.
that.
Yes.
But I mean, he's, like you said, not flashy, but he has come through in those situations. And, you know, to have that steady consistency is invaluable.
Yeah, and I feel like he's quietly been one of the best bullpen guys definitely in the last month or so. And mm-hmm. but this was his stamp on the season of being, like, you know, you know, I performed well. I guess you could say, but
right.
Yeah, definitely the best we've seen Kirby all season. And I feel like it was just an accumulation of all his good outings leading up to this. But he wasn't the only great Tennessee performance out of the bullpen this weekend, as the same can be said for Sunday with Will Mabry, who relieved Drew Beam, who struggled a little bit, not as much as Chase Dolander in my eyes. It was a more different outing. Tennessee's defense was a little worse on Sunday to kind of make Beam's day, I don't know, look worse than what it was to me. But regardless, Will Mabry came in with Tennessee trailing 4-0, just like Kirby Cannell did. But Will came in the bottom of the fourth inning and pitched 3.2 innings, only gave up 5 hits. Again, pitching, well, he gave up 0 runs. He pitched 3.2 scoreless innings, struck out 5. He shoved, Jake. And Will Mabry, unlike Kirby Cannell, had kind of struggled. He was really good at the beginning of the season. Then he kind of went downhill a little bit. As he said, his one pitch, he was kind of getting it was just kind of becoming the same thing over and over again. He had to switch up a little something, you know, he had to get some variety going on in there. But whatever it was, he has fixed it because he returned to that dominant form he was earlier in the season.
He absolutely did. And man, it was really fun to watch. You know, the view from behind the plate on that was something to behold, especially whenever he got out of that jam and the crowd just explodes. Mabry flexes and just gets really hyped coming off the mound. I mean, he was having a night, and you could tell it. It was pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, when they bring him in, they brought him in after Beam had given up a 2-run homer, and then he walked 2. So Mabry came in with one out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he retired his first 2 batters. And then just from then on, scoreless inning, just perfect performances from Mabry before Redmond Walsh took the mound in the 8th inning. And, you know, I wanted to go back to Kirby Cannell and talk and say that just like Mabry retired those 2 batters in the 4th, Cannell possibly had the biggest out of the weekend, you could argue, stranding the bases loaded by getting a fly out there on his first batter face. So right off the bat, Mabry and Cannell were dealing and giving Tennessee exactly what they needed in relief. So yeah, Jake, just looking at this pitching staff as a whole, you know, we've talked about Ben Joyce. We've talked about how Chase Burns has been great in relief like he was in Hoover. Redmond Walsh, we know what he can do. But then you got guys like Kirby Cannell and Will Mabry coming out of the pen and being the best pitchers for Tennessee this weekend, you know, along with Blake Tidwell's start. So I feel like this pitching staff just keeps showing how deep it is more and more each week.
Right. That's kind of the thing, right? Is, you know, you think you know the focal points of this bullpen, like you said, you know, Chase Burns coming in and Hoover, Ben Joyce, you know, obviously throwing 105 on or 104 maybe on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And you think, you know, like, all right, those are kind of your mainstays after switching things up this late in the season. And then you come out and get so much consistency from Kirby and get dominance from Will Mabry. And Will, like you said, a guy who has struggled at other points this season and has kind of found his footing. It really shows just how deep the staff is, because, you know, you think you know Tennessee's bullpen, and then wait, no, you don't. You get, you know, better performances from 2 other guys, and not unexpected sources, but, you know, I think lesser expected would be the right term.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
It's really cool to see.
Yeah, definitely lesser expected is the term, because, you know, especially for Will Mabry, I didn't see it coming. I didn't even think he'd be the first arm out of the pen, because you know who didn't freaking throw this weekend, Jake, is Camden Sewell. Like,
right.
What? You know, they did all this without Camden Sewell. And I just figured Cam would be the first arm out of the pen with Beam not going very long, because Drew Beam hasn't been, you know, his best self in the last month. So I thought it would be more of a Camden Sewell game, but no, Will Mabry come out and he did what he did. And he showed that he's among the top arms in the bullpen yet again. So yeah, just the fact that Camden Sewell didn't throw this weekend is a perfect example of how deep this Tennessee pitching staff is, because they didn't even particularly need him, and he's awesome. So we saw what he did in Hoover.
Yeah, on that note, Jack, I was actually thinking of that whenever you said it, that, you know, anytime Camden comes in, you know, maybe have the entire defense convince him he's playing against Florida, and you'll automatically have a win.
Yeah. Really, I mean, he's just nails against Florida. But I almost thought that Camden Sewell would start on Sunday because of Beam kind of slipping. And that brings me to my next talking point with this pitching staff is, you know, in the Super Regionals moving forward, we know they've had a four-man rotation with Beam, Burns, Dolander, and Tidwell. But now we've seen Burns come out of the bullpen back-to-back weeks. What do you think is in store for the starting rotation this weekend? Is it the same? Is it Tidwell, Dolander, Beam? Would we see a Camden Sewell start? Does Burns go back to a starting role instead of Drew Beam? I think Dolander and Tidwell have earned themselves starting roles, but what do you think will shake? Will there be any changes?
I feel like at this point, I don't know if you can take Chase Burns out of the bullpen. I mean, he's, it seems like they've, after switching those roles up, that he's done really well in that too. So honestly, I would go Tidwell, Dolander, and then throw Camden Sewell in.
Really? Okay. Yeah, but with throwing Camden Sewell in at the start, you know, the argument is that Drew Beam was bad.
That's okay. In relief.
Well, no, so
you're right. So,
but that it is difficult to talk about because like Beam hasn't been the sharpest start, and you got to think that Camden Sewell would deliver a better start at this point.
Yeah.
So to me, this is the most intriguing topic right now is day three starter. Because I agree with you. Chase Burns should stay in the pen. And if Tidwell or Dolander slip at all in the first 2 days, throw him in and he'll shove.
Yeah.
But on that third day, what are you going to do? Because we haven't – Drew Beam's only bullpen outing, I think it was his only one, was a nightmare. And he has just done okay as a starter when Tennessee should not accept okay, in my opinion. Because they are so deep and they have guys who can deliver more than okay. But then do you shut Drew Beam down? Because if he's not in the bull, if he's not coming out of the bullpen and he's not starting, then what's he doing? And how are you going to shut down the SEC freshman of the year? It's very intriguing here, Jake.
Yeah. I feel almost like mentally like the guy that's looking at all the conspiracy theories on the wall, spreading his arms out and looking back at the, I don't know what show it's from, but looking back at the camera in a crazed expression.
Yeah. It's a Charlie Day, right? From like Always Sunny.
Yeah. I feel like this is the pitching version of that.
Yes, totally. And that is my personality anyway, by the way, looking at a map with all these lines, like just trying to figure out all this stuff. I'm that kind of high tempo, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily bad to keep Drew Beam starting. I don't want to give everyone the wrong idea. You know, he's fine to give 2 to 3 good innings, but he does need to show that he can, you know, be what Drew Beam was, I think. Maybe it happens against Notre Dame. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it happens in Omaha. Who knows? But that's just my opinion. And like I said, to me, this is the most intriguing talking point of Tennessee baseball right now because their hitting lineup set in stone to me. The other pitchers are, we know what they can do. But that is fun to talk about. So because with this Tennessee baseball team, there's not much variance to talk about because of just how good and consistent they've been. And Jake, going back to this weekend, you know, just with Tennessee winning like that, what do you expect to see out of them in the Super Regionals? Do you expect them to, I don't know, do you think that gives them more fuel, maybe trailing and then coming back like that? Do you think it gives them the fuel of, we don't want to be in that situation again, so they lay their hammer down a little more? Just how are you expecting them to perform?
I think it, I would go with the latter, like you said. And in a column I wrote after this weekend, I said, you know, there's two choices for opponents whenever you're playing Tennessee. You let them get out ahead early, and then you probably aren't going to get back into it. Or you take an early lead, like Campbell and Georgia Tech did, and then that only makes them mad. And then here they come. So I would say after this weekend, you know, you don't want to be in that situation again because, you know, if we're looking at reality here, Tennessee trailed by one run going into the bottom of the ninth against – or going into the top of the ninth, excuse me, against Georgia Tech. And, you know, they were able to put plenty together there, obviously, six runs and, you know, winning 9-6. But still, you don't want to be in a losing situation or even looking at the possibility of it if you're Tennessee going into that. So I would say that it only gives them more fuel to jump out early and to get an early lead and not have to worry about, you know, what else might happen.
All right. Yeah, that's a good point. And like we said, Notre Dame coming to Knoxville this weekend to play Tennessee in the Super Regional. We will have a full preview of the Super Regional on Thursday after we dive into Notre Dame and get some research done. Talk about the Fighting Irish versus the Volunteers. With those fan bases, maybe Notre Dame travels well. Should be another great environment in Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Tennessee fans alone make that place crazy. So, Jake, it's a short show today, but we're going to wrap it up with a little fun. You ready?
I was going to say I want to end it on whatever you want to go with, but I am dying to try to keep myself from making a ginger joke with Notre Dame coming. I'm sorry.
A ginger joke?
Not a ginger joke, but like just.
Because I'm Irish?
Oh, I didn't know you were actually Irish.
No, I'm confused. Well, what are you getting at here?
I don't know. I lost it. I was.
No, we'll figure it out. You said a ginger joke, right?
I was gonna say something about a leprechaun and then I lost it, and I'm sorry. So it kind of tailspins. So
okay, if you want to make fun of my red hair at any point, Jake, it does not bother me.
Okay,
just so you know,
I was just okay. I love
if you. Ever back. Find yourself in that situation? Just know that's your backup. Okay.
Okay.
All right. We got
I love you, buddy.
Okay. Fun time. All right. So last week you struck out, Jake. Not going to lie. You said Evan Russell was going to set the home run record, but he didn't. Good job.
Yeah, I absolutely did strike out on that. That was in more ways than we could have known.
All right. But I'm going to give you more chances to succeed here. I was unfair. I only gave you one question. So we're going to do multiple. All right.
Okay. All right.
Record set this weekend was Tennessee set the record. Program record for most wins in a season. You know, that was cool. They did that. And then Evan Russell set the career record for most games played, passing Pete Durkee. He has 230 games played now. So, records on the line this weekend and moving forward. We'll start with Blake Burke. He has tied the freshman program record for home runs in a season with 14. Does he break it in the Supers?
Not even against my better judgment, but just because I know that in one of these, I'm going to be wrong. I'm going to say yes.
Say breaks it on day two, late game, because he is a freaking unit in late game situations. I don't know.
So you're putting the pressure on again. Okay.
Yeah. I say he does it. I'm with you. So I'm going to do day two, late game, because I haven't done the research, but I feel like if you go back and look at every single Blake Burke home run this year, over half of them would have occurred after the sixth inning. I don't know, but maybe that's just a wrong judgment, but I feel like every home run he's hit has been late game. All right, question two. We'll go back to Evan Russell. He's still tied with Todd Helton program record of home runs at 38. Does he break it this weekend?
And again, I feel the urge to say yes.
Okay. No, that's fine. I mean, it could happen. And so Luke Lipsius is right behind him at 37. Do you think that Luke Lipsius will pass Evan Russell and be the sole leader in program record home runs by the end of the season? Or do you think he'll stay behind Evan and, you know, not get it?
I don't know. I feel like Luke gets on base, but I feel like as far as home runs, he's cooled off a little bit. I want to say no.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's got 16. I do feel like he might be hitting the ball a little bit better than Russell right now, but, you know, we'll see what happens. Okay, and then last one. I'm going to put the spot real hard on you now, okay? You got to tell me what game it happens, and it doesn't have to be this weekend. But when does Redmond Walsh get the save to pass Todd Helton for program record?
I'm going to go. I'm going to go game two. I'm going to go even further. I'm going to go game two in Omaha.
Game two in Omaha. Okay. I love it. I like it. I don't know. Yeah. All right. I get down with that. I get down with that. You know, it makes for less work this weekend if he doesn't get the save, so I can be prepped for Omaha. So, Redmond, if you want to hold off and get the save in Omaha, that'd be great. Because there's going to be plenty of stories, I'm sure, to talk about Super. Somehow, some way, Tennessee baseball finds a way to just create a story every day about something new that maybe doesn't even have to do with baseball. So,
yep,
they are a beat I did not foresee being this exciting, this just crazy. I mean, I'm not complaining in the slightest. To me, it's probably been the most fun beat I've covered yet. So, very thankful for Tennessee baseball. But yeah, Jake, I appreciate you humoring me with answering those questions. I love nerd stuff like that. You know I do. But I'll get you out of here on that. What you got planned for the rest of your week, buddy?
Just getting ready for Supers. Got a couple fun appointments to get out of the way. Knowing what will probably happen this weekend, and very excited to see what could happen against the Irish, and then to be able to introduce my buddy to the cornfields of Nebraska.
Hey, there we go. I'm excited. Of course, if Tennessee makes it, I will be excited. But first is the Super Regional this weekend against Notre Dame. Jake and I will be back on here podcasting on Thursday to give a full preview, Notre Dame versus Tennessee. They released TV times and first pitch, or TV schedule and first pitch times today. Tennessee Notre Dame will begin on Friday night at 6 Eastern. Game 2 will be Saturday at 2 Eastern, with ESPN2 having the broadcast for Game 1, ESPN having the broadcast for Game 2, Game 3 to be determined on both. That's all you need to know about Tennessee Notre Dame as far as that goes. The rest we'll cover Thursday. For Jake Nichols, I'm Jack Foster. This has been the Tuesday, June 7th edition of the Volunteer Country Honest Side Podcast. Be sure and listen, and you know, always support us on the socials as well at Volunteer Country Honest Side. Matt and I will be back on here tomorrow to do our Wednesday mailbag. So if you're listening to this, be sure and just submit some questions anywhere you want to. DM me, Jack Foster TV, DM Matt, anything you want to do just to get us some questions rolling. All right, everybody, that'll do it for today. We'll see you tomorrow, and have a great rest of your Tuesday.